Good morning, everyone. How is everyone doing this morning? Let's make sure this thing is working right. Okay, it looks like we're live. So, here we are today, Friday, last day of the week. Hope everybody's had a great week. And today we're leaving Philippi, and we're going to be heading to, forgot to change it to Thessalonica. That's where we're going to today. And start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you so much for all you do. And at this time we can spend in your word. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So today we're starting in, we're in Acts. We'll just finish off. I left off at 1640. I'll just review. We realized that he had gotten out of prison, and Paul always seemed to find the best ways to get in and out of trouble, but not for his own good, but because he was preaching something nobody really liked. And entered into the house of Lydia, and when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. And so they basically left pretty much probably in the middle of the night out of Philippi, and on to Thessalonica, one of the famous letters that we all look to when it comes to future events. And just a little thing on Thessalonica, you know, we always think about these little trips, and the fact that I always like to think that Paul and Silas and Timothy must have been in pretty good physical shape too, because it's about 100 miles from Philippi to Thessalonica, and probably about a three-day travel. It mentions here in verse 1 that now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Allopina, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And it always seems like they don't mention anything about him doing anything in those other two cities. So some of the commentaries commented that that Paul always seemed to center around going to the synagogues first, to the Jews. And his belief was that at least when it came to the new message, that at least the Jews believed in one true God. And that, so he always went to the synagogue first to try to get some of his fellow Jewish members to believe that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, as prophesied in the Old Testament. And some believed and some didn't, as we'll see in the next coming verses. So I'll just do a little. So here in verse 2, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures. And so, like I said, they at least believed in the, and at this point in time, the Septuagint, the Greek version of the Old Testament, was pretty popular. So it wasn't just the Torah. From some of my other studies, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that the Jesus whom I preach unto you is the Christ. And Christ is another name for a Messiah. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. So it was pretty successful in all three areas. Of note that part of the reason too he used to go to the Jews first is because that realized that the the typical Gentile at that period of time, particularly in this area of the Greek and Roman mythology period, as we've all heard, you know, the Greeks and goddesses of Greek mythology. That's what most of them believed. So it was a little harder sell to teach them. So it's a great moving of the Holy Spirit to see that plenty of the Greeks and others also were convinced of Paul's preaching. Bet he was a pretty convincing preacher also. But just like when anywhere else, you have some who don't believe. And here we are in verse 5. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took upon the certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered the company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And doing a little research on the house of Jason, I found him also again in Romans 16:21, the mention of Jason. And we just look at that real quick. Romans 16:21, and Timotheus, my work fellow, and Lucas, and Jason, and Sosipater, my kinsman, salute you. And my kinsman basically means that they were all of the same makeup, all his fellow Jews. So as we go along in Acts 16, back to 16, Acts 17. And so a little bit more about Jason, at least from some of the commentaries I read. It was believed that Jason was a, particularly for the Christian, if you remember back when, during Pentecost and the multitude that was convinced of Jesus being risen from the dead, and the thing that a lot of those people scattered throughout this general region, and it's believed that Jason might have been one of them because he was already a devout believer and probably had a small assembly at his home. So that's why they went to Jason's home, as we'll see here in the next couple of verses. And when they found him not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. So they're associating Paul with Jason and some of the other Christ followers. Tough time to be a Christ follower, I tell you. Whom Jason had received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. This is a pretty serious charge back then, Caesar being the king of the Roman Empire. And just like we remember back when Herod had all the children killed when Jesus was born, people took it very seriously if somebody claimed to be king or another king when they already knew that Caesar was the king. So that's the charge they used to try to convince these people that they were spreading a false belief. Now, yeah, in verse 8, and they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. So basically, that I guess once they had a hold of Jason, they let the rest go. At that point, that's basically it for this portion. I thought I would just make mention that Thessalonica, one of my favorite things about this particular city is some of the letters that Paul wrote to them. Realize that verse 10 actually says that they're going to be leaving in the middle of the night. I'll just bring it up here so you can see it. Start on this tomorrow. But and their brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night under Berea, who, coming thither, went into the synagogue of the Jews. So they're already in the next city in the next verse. But back to verse 9. So they left town in the middle of the night again. Seems to be a common thread. And I just wanted to bring up that the Thessalonica was quite a place that had a really strong church. And I love some of the letters of Thessalonians. And I thought I'd just read a passage that I always found interesting, that Paul, like I said, he was only there for about 3 weeks. in Thessalonica. And during that time, he taught the people, and besides teaching the gospel and convincing the Jews of the resurrection of their Messiah, he immediately went to teach them about the second coming. And I always thought that interesting that even Paul then really believed that the Lord could come back at any time. And so I love these verses in Thessalonica where he, so I'm going to go to 1 Thessalonians 4:13. And just read this section. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them. And for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then, wherefore comfort one another with these words. And I bring those up to me because it always fascinated me that, like I said, Paul was only there a short time, about 3 weeks. And he did the rest by letter in his two letters to Thessalonians. And one of his first letters, he brings up the second coming. So it's, sometimes when people ask me, for new Christians, what should you tell them to read in the Bible? And I would say, well, you always start with John. Then I kind of recommend reading Revelation, and that surprises some people. I says, "Well, Paul did it. He basically taught about the second coming right away, right up front." And remember, as a teenager, that was one of the first books that fascinated me was Revelation. So I think it got me really interested in prophecy, and that's what got me started way back when, wondering what was going to come in the future. And it seems like Paul had a kind of the same idea. So I always found that interesting. So let's see, I got a couple of pictures that I found of, let me just bring the map over here for a second. And right now we're up, so we left Philippi, which you can see up north there, up near Macedonia, and we're heading basically down into Greece. And Thessalonica there being right at the top of Greece. And so that's about where we are now, and we're going to be heading a little bit south to Berea on Monday. And as I mentioned, what's really going to say about this area? I think I got everything I wanted to mention. And so, let's see, we got a couple of pictures. This is an amphitheater in Thessalonica that was from that time frame. So it's something Paul would probably may have even spoken at, when he spoke to some of the people. But like I said, it's Jason's home church, so that he did go in the synagogue though. And got another picture here of. This is the marketplace that you heard me mention in one of the verses in Thessalonica. So you can imagine that this is probably where the whole incident happened, where the Jews were trying to get the magistrates to put Paul into prison again, and his fellow believers there, Jason and the others, basically distracted him and was able to get Paul and Silas and Timothy out of the city before the magistrates got a hold of them. I guess Jason, don't even really know if how Jason made out, but I assume based on the fact that we see him in Romans, that that's written later, that he did okay. He probably convinced them that who knows what happened. But this is the marketplace that all that probably happened. So that pretty much ends for today. And just one more verse I'll leave with you that I always, it's my life verse. Let me bring it up here real quick. One of my life verses anyways. Thinking about the rapture and the second coming. Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of a great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And that's always a I call that my life verse, at least most recently. I have one in Proverbs too, I like, but so we'll end on that note. And as our merry group, Paul and Silas and Timothy, heading to Berea, and we'll see you again on Monday. Don't forget, we have a church on Sunday, 9 for Sunday school, and 10 o'clock for morning worship, 5 o'clock in the afternoon for evening service. And hope to all see you then. Have a blessed day, and I'll end with a prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, and thank you so much for all you do for us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.